Welcome back to Self-Propelled. If you've been following my channel since season one ended this time last year, you'll know that life has taken quite a turn. Em and I ended up fast-forwarding a far-off dream and found some land to create a renewables-powered camping and glamping site in Lincolnshire. As you can imagine, we've been a bit busy, and I hope you'll forgive the lack of episodes this year. No doubt I'll share the stories behind creating the Big Sky Hideaway in a few episodes' time, but for now, here's something a little different. I've lined up a new series of interviews to record and release over the winter, but for the time being, considering many of us have been stuck at home for the last 18 months, I thought season two should take us on a series of journeys. And we're going to start in Switzerland. This podcast is slightly different to the usual content you'd expect on Self-Propelled. Last year, in between the first and second COVID lockdowns, Active Traveller magazine invited me to join filmmaker and photographer Dan Wilde in the Swiss region of Valais. They set us a challenge to explore four different regions of Valais: Morgins, Nondar, the Alleggerina, and Saas-Fee. I've always enjoyed Switzerland in the summer. It's a picture postcard panorama of sunlit mountains, deep green forests, and the occasional dab of high altitude snow looking down over a landscape of valleys. Naturally, our answer was yes. My first visit to Geneva was back in 2010, and it resulted in the first journey across Lake Geneva on a paddleboard. That journey ended right beneath the vertical fountain at the western end of the lake, the Jet d'Eau. It's one of my favourite landmarks, or watermarks, in the world. And as we landed, the Jet d'Eau lit up like a mainsail in the twilight, a splendid foreground to an inviting silhouetted mountainscape rising up on the other side of the lake. We weren't the only ones happy to be arriving. It was one of those planes where a grateful round of applause rippled throughout the passengers. We disembarked, grabbed our bags, picked up a hire car, and sped around the northern edge of the lake. It was dark by the time we turned onto Highway 1 and began a 90-minute journey alongside Lake Geneva, through the pretty lights of Lausanne and Montreux, before heading south to Morgins. Fresh air beat down on our chariot as we climbed out of the valley, winding towards our midnight accommodation, the Hotel Helvetia, ablazoned in Swiss flags. The next morning, a smiling chap named Ben met us in the lobby.
How are you?
Very good. Looking forward to today.
Nice.
What's the plan? It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, we're going on an e-bike tour.
Not taking the cable car.
We're biking from Morgins to Champoussin.
Okay.
Our journey starts in Morgins, in Région d'Andomidi. And as with many alpine locations, business is open during the summer as well as the winter, so typically we're outside the ski set, ski and bike shop. It's time to go e-biking. Barely 500 metres out of Morgins, we were already in dense forest, our motors making mincemeat of the climb. We stopped off to see the coloured waters of Eau Rouge and Eau Jaune as they poured downstream. And once back on the track, a descending mountain biker screeched to a halt beside Ben. They clearly knew each other, and it so happened that this chap, as tanned and athletic as you'd expect from someone who lives in the mountains, was worth knowing. "This is Didier Defargo," said Ben, introducing his friend. "He's an Olympic champion."
I'm Didier Defargo. I'm 42 years old now, and my most occasion the last times is the winter sport. I'm skiing, alpine skiing. And I stopped the athlete careers 5 years ago.
I feel like you're being humble. Just if I was an Olympic medalist, that's the first thing I'd say. I'd say, "Hi, I'm an Olympic medalist. My name's Dave." So you.
It's not my first. What I have to say, but yes, I'm an Olympic gold medal winner in Vancouver 2010. I participated in 4 Olympic Games. The first time was in Salt Lake, and the last time was in Sochi. And but I did just 1 medals in, but very, very big one. You know, in the alpine skiing or in the winter sport Olympic Games, the downhill is like the 100 meters in summer Olympic Games. And for me, it was a big moment in my career. But is still different if you compete in the World Cup and in the Olympic Games, because you need more time to realize what you did. And this is a very special moment.
This chance meeting set up the day. One eye on the scenery, the other on my bike's battery. You now have two choices, said Ben, as we reach that point where there aren't many higher places to venture. There's one more climb, really steep and technical, or a few miles around the hill. We have turbo mode, I said. Let's go steep. We aced the first stage, careering past a lady who looked like she was born in these hills. Then my lack of experience took over, and I found myself pushing a 30-kilogram e-bike up the second half. The hiker was slowly gaining, and I made it my sad mission to beat her to the top.
And we got to the top, and I told her jokingly that we were racing, and she just pointed at the bike and said, "You've got electric. I had some muesli for breakfast," and then just laughed in my face. So I feel good about myself now.
Lunch at Le Bochasse restaurant was a sizable raclette with a side of IPA from the local Seven Peaks brewery, each of their beers named after a peak from the Dent du Midi, which rose handsomely to the south. The IPA was so good, I ordered another and almost regretted it an hour later when we came to the local adventure park and one of Switzerland's longest zip wires.
We're at the adventure park or adventure playground near Chambassin. And despite the sad, sad crying of a toddler, this place looks really, really fun.
I'm not the biggest fan of heights, but still, the instructor looking after the zip wire seemed to really enjoy her job. So I focused on that while she got me ready for a high-speed plunge.
Like, I prefer to stay on the forest because it's like fun, more fun.
Yeah, more things happening.
Yeah, and you can like help people. Like when they are like afraid, I like to help them and to give them advices, which is cool, because when they don't want to do, I make them doing it. I like it.
That's a talent, that's a talent. Okay.
Yeah.
Happy? Okay. I'm all roped in. Dan's calling me. Better go zip on it. That's awesome. That's really fun. Ben, Dan and I are on a tiny little platform. And Ben and I have massive grins on our faces because we just did a 300 metre zipline. And Dan works. Just looked like someone took his pants off without asking.
Next up, we have a three-wire rope bridge, just one wire below the feet. It's a good 15, 20 metres above the ground. That's enough to really hurt if you fall. Ben's going now.
I see you on the other side.
Dan's already made it, but Dan didn't speak throughout the operation. It says to me that there's a little fear factor to happen here. Apologies for the muffled sounds on these recordings. The only place to put my microphone was tucked inside a harness, which needed to be clipped and unclipped at each challenge. It was quite a fascinating way to explore a forest, but I'll confess, I was not looking forward to the final jump, out over a 20-metre drop, which required nothing more than an infinite amount of trust in one single wire, which I dearly hoped was stronger than it looked. I've not always been the biggest fan of heights, and I find myself looking at a man in a lime green t-shirt swinging from tree to tree. And I'm about to jump 20 metres into the abyss between a variety of platforms, all of which I've frantically tried to reach. This is terrifying. It's time to jump.
This is ridiculous. Any advice, Ben?
Jump.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh my god.
With the leaping over, we jumped back on the bikes and made our way back to Morgin via a series of downhill mountain bike trails with steep rounded banks that made me wish I enjoyed adrenaline more than I do. By 3 p.m., we were back in the car, heading to the next destination, Nanda.
This morning, we're in a gondola rising high above a cotton wool clad valley, and we're with Elodie.
Yeah.
Elodie, can you tell us a little bit more about what we have in store for today?
So we are going to go up to Thion and then up to the Mont Rouge, which is a quite famous summit here, to see the view because it's amazing there. And then we are going to take a gourmet hike. So we will have some 3 stops to eat local products.
Did you just say gourmet hike?
Yeah, I did.
So 3 stops. Yeah. Am I right in thinking that each one has a different course?
Yeah. That's exactly that.
Oh, it sounds like the perfect day.
It will be, and the sun is coming, so it's even better.
Elodie, as the gentle rumble of the telecabine draws us into our lunch spot, can you sum up what this little adventure is in maybe one sentence?
Oh, it's a great way to discover the food we have here in Nanda, but also to climb up a bit in the mountains and discover beautiful landscapes.
We stepped out of the cable car and began an 8-kilometer mountain track wander, punctuated by 3 restaurants, 3 meals, and several hundred meters of altitude climbed, which served to work up an appetite. The valet website reads, it's not recommended for those suffering from dizziness or a fear of heights, but today there were no leaps into outer space, just stunning views in every direction. Just 2 days earlier, we'd been at sea level, and to help us get used to the thin air, Elodie didn't shy away from the more strenuous forks in the road.
So, we have 2 choices there. Either the road over there, which is quite wide,
okay,
or we can go on the top of it, and it's more like rock climbing.
It's a fake road.
No, it's not. It also exists.
Which one would you choose?
I prefer the one.
Let's go that way.
Top.
Brilliant. I'll see you at the bottom when I fall down.
So we have to climb there.
Oh, we have to go right up there?
Yeah.
You said one way or the other way.
No, that's the easy one.
You can go left or you can go right, but we're going to go up the middle. Eventually, we made it to our first stop, and then, well refueled, we followed the historic Bis de Chèvre, tracing the passage of valuable spring water as it meandered downstream to irrigate pastures and vineyards. Many bis are still in use today, and for the pleasure of hikers, they now provide a gurgling sidekick to walking trails across the valley.
Elodie, you were saying that we took the sporty route to the restaurant.
That's right, up in the mountains, but we also have a more family-friendly route. Which is along the Bis de Chèvre, so it's quite flat and easy to walk. So the bis are water channel that they were made in the past because we don't have a lot of rain here, so they were really made to take the water from the glaciers. And in Nanda you have 8 bises and 6 are still with water in it. So still used to irrigate the apricot trees and the raspberries.
Okay. And alongside each bis is a walking path?
Yeah.
Amazing. And that's
always a
great way to get around the mountainside.
And they are always quite flat. So that's really... Yeah, the families love that.
Walking for everybody.
Yeah.
There's nothing like food to drag tired feet up and down, and I can't deny, although the mountainscapes were beautiful, the meals in between were my highlights of the day.
So the cheese we have eaten just 2 minutes ago was made this morning right here.
This looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for this. We've walked a long way today.
Yeah. More 8 kilometers.
And more up than down as well.
Yeah.
What would you call this meal, Elodie? Does it have a name?
No.
Meaty, cheesy, mess of delight.
Yeah, we could say that.
Thank you for bringing us here.
You're welcome.
Yummy.
And bon appétit.
Bon appétit you. Our next stop was the Aletsch Arena, home of Riederalp, Bettmeralp, and Fischeralp, a trilogy of car-free villages where young children scoot unaccompanied down steep roads and cowbells ring across the plateau. We'd hoped to eat and stay at the Gletscherstube hut, known as the Million Stars Hotel, but heavy rain meant the double bed, which waited literally under the stars, was not available. Instead, we rested up at the Hotel Alpina in Fischeralp, a mountain village whose name roughly translates as Ground of the Cow, which went some way to explaining the numerous colourful cow statues positioned around town. Fiesch is known as a paragliding mecca, so it would have been silly to take a telecabine back to the valley floor. So Dan and I are about to go paragliding, and we can't see anything. Every time we go paragliding, it's foggy. What are your hopes for this one, Dan?
Hope to land safely and alive. Get some lovely shots. You're about to jump off a perfectly good mountain, Dave. How do you feel about that?
I'm quite excited.
Our pilots were Alex from the local paragliding company Flug Taxi and his son Adrian, who had passed his tandem pilot exam 2 months earlier. I let him take Dan.
So the wings are unfurled, the fog is clearing. It looks like we're going flying. All right. We've just landed. How you doing?
Still feel a tiny bit wobbly. But the exhilaration absolutely makes up for it.
Oh, it's such a great feeling, swooping above these mountains.
It's incredible. I think I never remember how cool it is.
Yeah, I could never get tired of that feeling.
No. Hi, guys. Yes.
Awesome.
Amazing. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's a good way to start the day. Well, if you ever find yourself in the Alec Arena, then there's only one father-son paragliding team who you should fly across the valley with. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Flug Taxi.
Our local guide for the Alec Arena, Jasmine, picked us up with a grin. We drove along the valley and jumped on another cable car, this time to Betmaralp, where we wandered through town and settled into another telecabine.
We're on yet another gondola, this time heading up to the viewpoint over the Alec Glacier. Jasmine, it looks a little cloudy up there and the weather hasn't been brilliant this morning. What do you think? Are we going to get a good view?
Yeah, I think we will have a good view because, as you can see, the mountains are going to another direction. So I'm quite optimistic that when we will arrive there up, that it will be quite sunny, because right now you can already see the panoramic restaurant. And there are no clouds anymore, so I think we will be lucky this time.
That's a good sign. At some point this morning, we didn't think we were going to get a view of the glacier. Yeah. What should we be expecting when we make it to the top?
Well, as I've already mentioned, there is a nice panoramic restaurant with a nice view to about 44,000 meters peaks. You will also have a brilliant view over the Alec Glacier, which is the longest one in the Alps with 23 kilometers still, so let's hope that it's like this as well for some years more. Then there is also a multimedia exhibition inside, free of charge, so that's for the people who can't do the glacier trek, which lasts about 5 to 6 hours, so it's quite exhausting.
A short walk from the top station brought us to a viewpoint overlooking the glacier.
Looking out over the Alec Glacier, the longest glacier in the Alps at 23 kilometres. And Jasmine said last night an astounding fact that the water stored in this glacier could provide 1 litre of water to every single human on the planet for the next 4.5 years. Even more astounding, considering you look across the valley now and you can see the old level of the glacier, a good 100 metres higher than it currently is, from maybe 150 years ago. The glacier is receding at such a rate, they predict that by the end of the century, it won't exist anymore.
The scene was utterly remarkable, but partially overshadowed for me by the sadness at its gradual retreat. The visit was very much worth it for the scale and the thoughtfulness it inspires. And the sight of this huge, sweeping river of ice stayed with me as we bade farewell to Jasmine and the Alec Arena, then made our way south towards our final destination of the week. From three car-free villages to one more, unless you count the milk floats, our journey's final leg took us to Saz Fay, a resort village overseen by a bowl of peaks each 4,000 metres above sea level. Our accommodation, the Sunstar Hotel, right in the centre of town, boasted panoramic views from the balcony and pillow-top chocolates which made me want to stay forever. The suite was so big I walked around for 10 minutes before finding the door. We were in Saz Fay for one final activity of the week, two words that should strike gentle fear into those with vertigo. Via Ferrata.
We're waiting for the cable car, the telecabine, at the bottom in Saz Grund. It feels like Dan and I are the only people not properly kitted out for extreme activity today. Yeah, we've probably got the hardest day of our itinerary ahead. 5 to 7 hours of Via Ferrata.
We started early, meeting our guide Philippe at the bottom of the cable car. He was a mountain man, wiry and toughened by high altitude sun.
First 1 hour to the beginning of the Via Ferrata, 1 hour, okay. More or less. And then we start, put on the harness, the carabiners, and then the Via Ferrata itself, it's, let's say, 3 hours.
I'm going to be honest here. I really didn't know what a Via Ferrata was before we began. I knew there'd be carabiners involved and steep drops and a bit of climbing, but for someone with the upper body strength of a baby kangaroo, I was about to take a scramble well outside of my comfort zone.
This is my first Via Ferrata. Can you tell me what I should be expecting? What should a beginner expect from this Via Ferrata?
Always hang in one carabiner. And what do you expect?
Yeah, what's the experience?
Right, on some part it's quite steep.
How much altitude will we gain on this Via Ferrata?
Gain about 400 meters.
Okay. And it will take about 3 hours, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Four and a half hours of almost vertical climbing later.
We're at 3,200 meters. We've made it to the top of the Jägerhorn after my first ever Via Ferrata. And I can safely say I've done some really weird stuff in my life, but that's the most scared I've ever been in my 40 years. I'm so relieved to be at the top. I've had a little cry. After 20 minutes, I was really struggling. Some of the climbing was pretty technical, and I've never done any rock climbing before. So to get up to the top of here feels like definitely the biggest challenge of 2020 for me.
It is worth noting that there were perhaps 50 or other people on the mountain that day, and they were all absolutely loving it. There were Via Ferratas of different grades all over Valais. And while I wouldn't recommend a K3 for a beginner, I'd jump at a lower grade any time. Our last meal of the trip was glorious. A feast in an old shepherd's hut, and now restaurant called the Schafferstube, run by a young couple, Simone and Daniel. We laughed, drank, and ate happily. Their website reads, "Because love goes through the stomach." And, a fitting end, don't forget, this moment is yours. A big thanks to Active Traveller magazine and the Valais Tourism Bureau for the opportunity to bound around Switzerland's most beautiful regions. You can read my article about the trip and watch Dan's film on active-traveller.com. And to find out more about Valais, their website is valais.ch/shop.